This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
I'm Brian Kilmeade.
I'm Kennedy.
I'm Sean Duffy, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Thursday, March 7th, 2024. I'm Eben Brown. Israel's military focus has been on Hamas, on its war ever since the terrorist group in Gaza's attack on October 7th. But Israel is also enduring attacks from Hezbollah in Lebanon. And Israel says they're ready for them too, even if it means a wider war.
Lebanon itself is using Hezbollah's attacks and the international community's desire to avoid this massive war between Israel and Hezbollah as a bargaining chip to get concessions.
This is the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Lebanon's Hezbollah, the political paramilitary terrorist group aligned with and funded by Iran, has had no qualms opening a second front against Israel, which is still in the midst of its battle in Gaza against Hamas terrorists. Israel has no doubt decimated Gaza and irrevocably altered Hamas's ability to rule and engage in terrorism, though Israel insists it's not through, that it won't end until all hostages taken on October 7th are returned. But where in the past Hezbollah might have stayed out of skirmishes between Israel and Hamas, they're now willingly helping Hamas. And Israel could be ready to bring the war to them as well in southern Lebanon.
There is the Sunni-Shia divide, but that's less relevant to Hezbollah than one may think.
David Daoud is an expert on Arab politics and Middle East security matters. He's worked on Capitol Hill, and he's now a senior fellow at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies.
We're dealing with an entity that is part of a broader ideology that's very pragmatic in its nature, right? The Islamic Republic of Iran is not as, I mean, it is ideologically rigid, but it also knows how to work within the confines of reality. They took assistance from Sunnis, namely the PLO, were primarily right. Sunni secularists, right? Prior to the Islamic Revolution, the IRGC was trained by the PLO in the Bekaa Valley. After that, the Palestinian cause became one of the central issues of the Islamic Republic of Iran, both for ideological reasons and for pragmatic reasons, right? If the Islamic Republic of Iran, this kind of gives us an idea of how relationship Hezbollah's relationship with Hamas goes. The Islamic Republic of Iran wants to be, and it does want to be, the leader of not just the Shia world, but the Muslim world entirely. As a Shia Persian power, there are impediments to that, right? Obviously, the Shia power trying to have influence in the Sunni world complicates matters. Iran's environs are predominantly Arab, right? The Persian identity makes things complicated. Right. Palestine being the primary Sunni Arab cause is that entry point. Now, because of that, right, they've tried to make inroads with different Palestinian groups. As they felt Arafat, their former interlocutor within the Palestinian national movement, start to kind of do his own thing in the late 1980s, and we could argue if that's for tactical reasons or not, but that's not the point here, they started to move towards the more Islamist groups. So I wouldn't say that the Sunni-Shia divide is that important as one would think at face value, given Sunni-Shia tensions in the region generally. Now, why the change? Look, we have to, and this goes back to understanding what Hamas is and what Hezbollah is.
Right.
Today, they are less independent entities than they were, say, two decades ago. Increasingly, Hezbollah is an extension of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Let's understand this. It is an extension of Iran by their own words, right? According to the 1985 open letter, the way my arm is an extension of me. Hamas has become increasingly enmeshed in that orbit. And then the way the resistance axis operates, again, highly pragmatic actors. We saw the failure of this, or the kind of the misconception in national security advisor Tzachi Hanegbi's statement the first Shabbat, I think it was after October 7th, where he came out and said, look, we didn't imagine Hamas doing this because 2022, right, August 2022, May 2023, there's the clashes with Palestinian Islamic Jihad. Hamas sat this one out. We thought right. This meant that they'd imbibed the lessons of 2021. It's not how the resistance axis operates, right?
Right.
They mutually reinforce each other. Sometimes factions that can take more of a beating step to the forefront. Sometimes factions that, you know, you want to hold in reserve for a bigger plan down the future, which is what appears to have been with Hamas, you know, are held in the backdrop. Whereas, you know, the entities like Palestinian Islamic Jihad, which you may be willing to kind of use a little bit more, step to the forefront. This is what we've seen, by the way, with Hezbollah over the past several years, right. Why they haven't been sticking their neck out. This has to deal with Lebanon's domestic conditions. Since October 17th, 2019, Lebanon has been in an economic spiral. Iran isn't going to give them an order to just go in without any consideration for what might happen to Hezbollah. So I think there was a consultation that happened at the beginning days of the war, which is like essentially went along the lines of, you know, how much can you give without tipping the balance in Israel's favor? And I think this right. is what they're doing now.
Let's talk about where things are right now. There have been some reports, there have been some, I guess, even quotes from Israeli, we'll call it leadership, the war cabinet, saying they could easily go to war and be victorious against Hezbollah. Hezbollah has been attacking northern Israel for really ever since the war in Gaza began. They don't seem to be letting up. Those rocket barrages are numerous, and they are they're not rockets, they're missiles. These are different from what Hamas, you know, this is not Hamas, you know, taking water pipes and sticking some gunpowder in it and shooting it off and seeing where it goes. Some of these are very good, you know, much better missiles that have the ability to maybe more likely hit a target. But Israel says, wait, we're ready to do this if the time comes. There's been some reports, and I don't know if you're aware of this yet, and that's fine, where it's being quoted through Arabic media, that the Israelis have told the Americans, the United States, if Hezbollah doesn't cut this off, and if we don't get a real peace, truce deal, and the hostages come home by March 15th, which is a week away, we take this war into Lebanon and we will drive Hezbollah out of southern Lebanon. That is a tall order, but Israel has often not said, when they say they're going to do something, they're going to do something, and they do it. So we're in a pretty weird situation right now. This seems like a major point of escalation. So from your analysis, where really are we with this?
I would say ever since October 8th, there is a real war going on in the north, right? From, you know, and wars come in different forms. They don't necessarily have to be, you know, all out, throwing all of your assets. There are low intensity wars of attrition. And this is what we're seeing on the north. And Hezbollah has considered it, right? They've said, we are a full part of this battle. They've called it a war. They've called it a war of attrition. I'm going to take them at face value now with, I think as of 2 days ago, they put out something like they carried out over 1,000 individual attacks into Israel. Casualties, damage. This is something from a legal standpoint. This is kind of my other specialty as a lawyer on this specific issue, on laws of armed conflict and laws of war. This is an armed attack. This is something where Israel's right to self-defense, including potentially, and there's an analysis of like what's proportional to Hezbollah's attacks, and proportionality is not what we often hear that it is, right? It's proportionate to the overall threat that's posed by these attacks, by Hezbollah's presence on the border. Israel could take action, theoretically, that would include a ground invasion to distance Hezbollah from the border. That's where we are today. Now, would such a war be easy? Absolutely not. I don't think that the Israelis are imagining that this will be a walk in the park. Hezbollah, as you noted, is better armed, better trained than Hamas. They have experience in Syria. They have weapons that theoretically could reach all the way up to Eilat. They have the capability to fire estimates between 1,500 at the low end and 4,500 rockets a day into Israel in the first few weeks of the war. Now, just as a point of comparison, I think the total of the rockets that were fired into Israel over the course of the entire second Lebanon war was something about like 4,000 or 5,000 rockets, right? So this is daily. Iron Dome consider this a non-starter to be able to deal with these rockets. Just from a purely monetary perspective, each one of these rockets costs about $100 to $150 to manufacture. Each Tamir interceptor costs somewhere between $40,000 to $50,000. Now imagine you're launching, interceptors to go after 1,500 just 1,500 rockets.
Yeah, part of this is to deplete the bank account in Israel. That's the
absolutely, yeah. And I don't think the Israelis will try to intercept, because Israel will be bankrupted in a matter of a couple of days, right? If you just do the math, I think the Israelis at this point are going to, on the defensive side, going to have to make judicious decisions about what rockets to let in where, and what assets to protect with Iron Dome. At the same time, and that's just the short range missile. Right.
Yeah.
Threat. This is not talking about, they have an arsenal of Zilzal rockets, right? These are mid-range unguided rockets. They're useless as a military weapon. But if you drop 1,000 of these, right?
You'll hit something eventually.
Fire 1,000 of these, you'll hit a lot of things if you fire it, say, towards Tel Aviv.
Right.
If you get just a few that get through. And Israel obviously has David Sling, Magic Wand, however you want to call it, to deal with this, but it's not going to be enough if you launch a barrage of 1,000 at a major Israeli city, right? So from the Israeli perspective, this gives Israel very few options to defensive options. You can't hunt these, especially the short-range rockets. You can't hunt them down with planes. You can't hunt them down with standoff firepower. This was the failure of the 2006 war. You're going to have to send in a massive ground invasion, something akin to the first Lebanon war, to find the operators, find the weapons caches, destroy them, and push Hezbollah as far back as possible, as quickly as possible, given the damage that is going to accrue to northern Israel.
We're speaking with David Daoud of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies on the possibilities and reasons why Israel might expand its war to include Hezbollah in Lebanon. On the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition, we'll have more straight ahead.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Does a ground war in southern Lebanon that Israel is saying could happen, and maybe if these reports are true, would happen beginning next week if they don't get a deal to return the hostages, does that put the pressure on Hezbollah and Hamas to get these hostages released, or does it embolden them to keep fighting? Because as we can see from pretty much any picture, Gaza is a wreck, and Hamas in Gaza certainly has lost its ability to control it at this point. But does it embolden these characters as opposed to frighten them into submission?
Well, what I would say is, first of all, the origin of that report is Al-Akhbar, which is a pro-Hezbollah newspaper. It's worth it.
We take it with grains of salt. Yes, of course.
We take it with a lot more than a grain of salt.
Shake
at the same time, what Najib Mikati, the current Lebanese caretaker prime minister, said just 2 days ago that they're expecting negotiations to go on through the month of Ramadan. So I'm going to take that more at face value, that what they're hearing through Amos Hochstein, messages delivered from the Israelis, that this isn't something that's necessarily imminent. What we're also seeing, though, and this is critically important, is that Lebanon itself is using Hezbollah's attacks and the international community's desire to avoid this massive war between Israel and Hezbollah as a bargaining chip to get concessions. Reports from Lebanese media have now indicated that the more Hezbollah is holding out, the more Hezbollah is sustaining its attacks, the lower the bar is for international demands that Amos Hochstein is bringing to the Lebanese. So now, according to, I think it was a report that came out today in Lebanese media, that there's not even a demand for Hezbollah's withdrawal from the border anymore. This is in Nida' al-Watan, it's a Lebanese paper. So if it's kind of like a game of chicken, right?
Yeah.
And Hezbollah's winning. And the Lebanese are now increasingly aligning their official position with that of Hezbollah, because they also think that they can get, they're getting promised economic benefits, that are getting promised potential resolution of Israeli or border disputes with the Israelis, a lot of things in their favor. So why not hold out? Why not continue these attacks, increasing the pressure for the international community, which again wants to avoid war, to bring more concessions from the Israeli side? By the way, this is how they acted, how the Lebanese acted in tandem with Hezbollah leading up to the October 2022 maritime border deal. Hezbollah would threaten.
Right.
The international community wanted to avoid war. Lebanon would make demands. And the international community would bring the Israelis into agreeing to those demands. And by the way, Hezbollah doesn't even consider that issue finished anyway. So now we're seeing a repeat of this.
Over and over again. David Daoud, you're a senior fellow at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. Thank you so much for being with us on the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com.
Pull up a chair and join me, Rachel Campos Duffy.
And me, former U.S. Congressman Sean Duffy, as we share our perspective on the discussions happening at kitchen tables across America.
Download From the Kitchen Table, The Duffys, at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts.